Dear Jesus, we thank you that you are the God who was, is, and is to come. We give you thanks and praise that you are mindful of us and that you are faithful to your promises, just like you were to Simeon. Father, help us to have our eyes and our hearts and our minds fixed not just of the things of this world, but to have our eyes, hearts, and minds fixed on eternity. Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's these days where we all have a lot of things on our minds. Is it not true? I don't know what your weeks or days were like leading up to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but I had a lot of things on my mind. And we've successfully made it through Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. And this week in between Christmas and New Year's is always a little bit of a slower time in culture. At least in American society. Have you realized that? People aren't either going into the office and working or, office hours are kind of reduced and there's not a whole lot of hurry. There's a lot of hurry typically the rest of the year. But for some reason, in between Christmas and New Year's, we take a little bit of a pause and that's okay. We have to rest and we have to recharge. And in those times where we're caused to slow down a little bit, we become more reflective. And one of those things that I think is on our minds, especially on New Year's Eve, as we transition from 2023 to 2024, is time. Are you guys thinking about time these days, right? We're going from one year to the next. And in this week where we've kind of slowed down, we oftentimes think about the year that was in the rearview mirror. And we're thinking about the year that's coming ahead. And what's interesting about time is, I don't know if you've ever contemplated time before, time is a funny thing to think about. And the reason for that is time can move really, really fast, or it can be really, really slow all at once. Here's a few examples. Maybe this one will hit home. Why is it that from like mid-November to December to January to February, to March, sometimes even April, why is it that winter, it seems like, takes forever? But then you get June, July, and August. It goes like that. Why is it that your workday goes by really, really slow, but the weeks go by fast? Why is it in a season of joy in your life, it goes by in a blink, but a season of grief is long, drawn out, and heavy. And as we turn the page from one year to the next, I don't know if you ever ask yourself this question. I find myself asking this question somewhat regular, and it can be a good or not so good thing. The question I find myself asking a lot of the time is, how did I get here? How did I get here? So, for example, this can be a good thing. So take a pro athlete, for example. All of a sudden, they're on national television hoisting their championship trophy with millions of people viewing on TV in front of a huge stadium, confetti falling down onto their head. They've got the championship hat, the championship t-shirt on, and they think to themselves, how did I get here? I'm just a small town kid. I never had this, I never thought I would make it to the top, but here I am. I'm a champion. How did I get here? Or you've got that person who nobody else made it to college. Nobody else got out of the bad neighborhood. But there in the middle of May, they've got their garb on, their graduation hat lined up, and they hear their name called. And they walk across stage, shake the chancellor's hand, and they lift that college diploma that they never thought that they would get and ask themselves, how did I get here? I never thought it would be possible for me to break that. Excuse me. But that same question might not always be a positive thing either. Perhaps somewhere this past week, there was a father who had his face in his palm sobbing because of the divorce, wondering, how did I get here? The kids are with her, and here I am in my apartment all alone. How did I get here? Or you've got the addict, where something started out just real simple, just casual thing, became a really bad habit, which led to a downward trajectory in life, in and out of rehab, and he asks himself, how did I get here? Time is a funny thing, and we contemplate time, and we ask, how did I get here? So what was 2023 like for you? Was it a really, really fast year? Did it go by like that? I don't know if you're like me and you're thinking to yourself, wow, 2024, COVID broke out 4 years ago? Really? That went by quick. Did 23 go by really slow? Was there a lot of joy? Did you ask yourself, how did I get here? Or did you say, how did I get here? What's your view of the past? Do you see the past as something that's really nostalgic? Oh, the good old days? Or do you see the past as, can't wait to get that behind me. Glad that's over. Do you just want to be present in the moment? Do you long for just being still and being here, resonating with your surroundings? Do you see the future as something really, really hopeful? Man, I can't wait for next year. Next year is my time. Or do you look at the future and say, ooh, I don't know about that. No thanks. That's kind of scary, kind of intimidates me. Today, I want to invite you to not get too bent out of shape about the past, present, or future. But what I want you to contemplate today is eternity. And I don't want you to be intimidated by eternity either, because eternity is a comforting thing. And we learn about somebody today who contemplated eternity. And his name is Simeon. One of the unsung heroes, so to speak, of the Christmas story. We don't get much about Simeon. Luke records that he was righteous and devout and was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Oftentimes when this story is told in books or in movies or whatever, we get this picture of an old man in the temple who's waiting and waiting and waiting. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know if Simeon was young or old. We don't know if he was 31 years old like me or if he was 89. Years old. The text doesn't specifically say. But what we do know is that he was righteous and he was devout and he was holding on to God's promise. And that promise was that he would not see death himself until he saw the Lord's Christ. He lived a life of faithfulness. I don't know what it was like that day 2,000 years ago, but I'd like to imagine that in my mind. Did Simeon, as he's standing there walking and going about his business in the temple, did he brush shoulders with Mary and Joseph and say, oh, it's you. You're the one I've been waiting for. Was it eye contact? You know what I mean by that? When you walk into a room and all of a sudden you make eye contact with someone and you just kind of know. Or was it like Mary and Joseph, teenage parents, were they coming in kind of at the last hour, kind of as church is beginning and all their things are bumbling and shuffling and, it's them? Or did Simeon just know? I'm not really sure. But we do know that Simeon held on to that promise. He was waiting for the Lord's Christ. And sure enough, according to God's word, Mary and Joseph come in and Simeon grabs baby Jesus. And he beholds God. He sees him with his very own eyes, and God comes through on his word. And he beholds eternity in his hands. So when you think eternity, think Jesus. And when you think about eternity, you get a record of God's faithfulness. Allow me to give you a few examples. God promised Abram and Sarai that they would have a kid. They were 90 years old at that time when God made that first promise. And you know what they did? They laughed. And when you translate Isaac's name, it literally means he laughs. Because when God told Abram that he would have a son, he laughed. But in the course of time, God came through. And he was faithful to his promise. Then Jacob, a descendant of Abraham, his descendants, they settle down in Goshen in the land of Egypt. But then God gets quiet. And I'm not just talking like getting ghosted from a text. I'm talking 400 years. Not one word from God. And then God comes through. He sends Moses and Aaron. God performs 10 mighty acts. We know him as the 10 plagues. To show Pharaoh and all his cronies that the God of Israel is in charge. And in haste, Moses tells all the Israelites to pack up all their things. Let's get out of here. God's delivering us. He's redeeming us. He's buying us back. We're going home. They pack up their things. They're out of Egypt. And there they are standing at the shores of the Red Sea. But then they ask a question that we ask this time of year. And they ask, how did I get here? How did we get here? And when they're asking this question, they're not asking it with joy and hope. They're asking it in uh-oh, because they turn around and who's coming after them but Pharaoh and his army and all their chariots. So they turn to Moses and they say, how did we get here? It would be better for us to die in Egypt than to die out here. But God is faithful. God tells Moses to stick out your staff, touch the water. Bada boom, bada bing. Water parts. Israel goes across on dry land. Pharaoh and his army drown in the sea. And God comes through on that promise. Then God told David, I will establish your throne forever. But when you read the pages of Scripture, you wonder if that's actually going to happen. And the reason you wonder that's going to happen is because the kings that God chooses, kind of like this, most of them aren't so good. Some of them are okay for a little while. But then, just as Paul writes today in Galatians 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son to be born of woman, born under the law, to redeem us, those who are under the law. And he sends forth Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, and his throne is established forever. Jesus, the God who was, is, and is to come, is eternal, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. As we turn from 2023 to 24, I want you to contemplate eternity. And the reason for that is because God wants to spend forever with you. God loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son to set aside his heavenly home, his glorious heavenly throne, to come to this, to come and experience time with us. He who is outside of time, he who through time was created. He comes and experiences time, the fast pace, the slow pace, the seasons of life, so that he would spend forever with you. Jesus came into this world to die a death that he did not deserve. He is perfect. And yet for our sake became sin, who knew no sin himself, so that we would become the righteousness of God. Jesus came into this world to bear our sin, be our Savior, and to remind us that he is eternal. So, no matter what you experience, whether you're excited about next year or you dread next year, know that the fact that Jesus was born validates your experience. Whether you are living in a joyous time or suffering, Jesus comes to hold your hand in all of it. He comes to walk with you in the joyous times and the suffering of this life. And Jesus paved the way for us, and we follow him in 2024. Jesus died on the cross. His body was placed into a tomb, and 3 days later, he comes out victorious, reminding us that he is faithful to his word. He has come, and he's prepared eternity for you. And there is one more promise that he has yet to come through on, and that's his second advent, his second coming. And when that advent happens, we are participating in a kingdom that has no end. And as a matter of fact, did you know that when you come to church every single week, you actually get a slice of eternity.
True.
Might not seem glamorous. You might hear the squeakiness of our system up top. But what happens here is a little slice of eternity. It's true. The Lord's Supper that we just had is with the creator of the universe who created time itself. Here in the Lord's Supper, you actually eat and drink this meal not only with Christ, but with believers who have died and believers who have yet to come, who have yet to be born. When you commune, you participate in this meal with those who have died and are in Jesus' presence right now. Pretty sweet, isn't that? When you come to church and you sing God's praises, you're singing along with people who have died and who have yet to come. When you confess the creed, you're confessing the exact same faith that the apostles had. The same faith that Jesus gave to Peter on that Easter morning is the same faith that you confess here this day. December 31st, 2023, you are confessing the same stuff that was confessed 2,000 years ago. When you come to church, you get a slice of eternity. And it's here in this place. The reason Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School exists is to give you a slice of eternity every single week. A reminder that God is carrying you, sustaining you in the joyous times, in the bad times, the times of confusion, the times of suffering, the fast times and the slow times. God promises to be present here, giving you his gifts and a slice of eternity. And so we come here every single week anticipating and contemplating eternity because Jesus has one more promise to come through on. He came through on all the others, and there's one more. He's coming back. And when he does, he's coming for you. He will raise the dead. He's going to call your name, and he's going to come and give you the inheritance that he prepared from before the foundation of the world, from before even time existed. God is coming to give you that inheritance. And so together we pray, come Lord Jesus, that just as Simeon beheld Jesus, we behold Jesus in this place. And one day we will see Jesus with our very own eyes. Faith will give way to sight. And there he is, your Lord and your Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.